Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we're going to be talking about mind power and action power. Now, when I'm looking at the two together, mind and action, what does it have to do with the topic we're talking about today? It's common sense in uncommon times. Well, it's about survival. Now, when I talk about survival, it is because, as you know, for those of you in the United States, if you're listening from any other country in the world, you know how Japan has been affected by disasters. You know how India has been affected recently. There are so many things that have happened in different parts of the world. And here in the United States, we have really gotten slammed with some phenomenal weather situations. Well, my guests today, Brian Crissy and Pamela Crissy, are two people that decided that they wanted to put together a very compact publication that is going to enable you and your family and or your neighbors to look at how they can be prepared. Now, we always talk about emergency situations, and we don't think it's going to happen. Well, I can tell you, living in the Pacific Northwest, we've been without power. We've had severe situations that have occurred here that we've had to deal with in the years that we've lived here. This happens anywhere on this planet. So these two individuals decided to take on a project that I think is comprehensive. The material is very succinct in how you can be prepared without making you paranoid, for heaven's sakes. I want to welcome to the airwaves Brian Crissy and Pamela Crissy. Thank you for coming onto the show.
Thank you, Donna, for having us.
Now, Brian, you have degrees in operations research, computer science. You've been affiliated with Johns Hopkins University. You worked with the Joint Chiefs of Staff during the Vietnam conflict. You've been involved in the Committee on Nuclear and Alternative Energy Systems for the National Academy of Sciences in Washington, D.C. I mean, you have got this amazing background that has really contributed a great deal to your awareness of how important it is to pay attention to what's going on.
Yeah.
You also, with your wife, Pam, co-founded what's now the Granite Publishing Group. And you really got into this after 9/11. Now, Pamela, you have found yourself, because you're an international traveler, you found yourself in emergency situations in Cyprus.
Mm-hmm.
You lived within 40 miles of Three Mile Island. And then you were in my neck of the woods when Mount St. Helens erupted in 1980. So here you are. You have had all of these experiences that made it very, very much real to you about being prepared. And you have been involved with computers and Tektronics, the company. You've also been involved in homeopathic healing. And you both, as a team, you're a powerhouse.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to get nosy. I'm going to ask, how did the two of you get together?
Oh, I think we were just...
I looked in her eyes, and that was the end of it.
No. There's more than that.
We were drawn together, I think. We just found each other. And, yes, it's a real complementary match of skills.
Very, very much so.
And desires and, yes, viewpoints. It's
now,
quite amazing when we watch it work together.
I think so. Now, with the combined experiences of the two of you, your book, Common Sense in Uncommon Times. Now, this is the updated second edition of
mm-hmm.
this book. And you talk about survival in the changing world. And, boy, that's the fact. Mother Nature has a way of humbling us very, very quickly when
Absolutely.
We get too big for our britches.
Needs
and
respect.
We think we know it all. And, by golly, she'll say, excuse me, I am having a PMS day. You are
right.
going to pay attention, right?
That's right.
I think she's having a lot of those lately.
I know, and I really think she needs some Valium, but I think we're going to have to figure out how we're going to assist her with that.
Uh-huh.
But let's talk about this book, because this is so important. One, it's informative. Number two, you have lists in it. And number three, I'd say people need to sit with a highlighter and go through it. Tell us why you decided to put this together.
Well, the story, I think, has to go back to the 9/11 events, which took this nation a bit by surprise. And as all of us were watching the news and the people falling out of buildings and all sorts of things happening, at one point we observed that the women who were surviving that ran out of the buildings happened to not be wearing high-heeled shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of suggested something to us that maybe there are times when we should put common sense ahead of, say, fashion, and just reserve the option to be able to run. Carry the high-heeled shoes if they're important.
Mm-hmm.
It was the beginning of a seed of an idea that perhaps common sense is less common than it should be, and we should start observing what works and what doesn't and start collecting those ideas. And that was the initial impetus for creating the first edition. And when we got around to responding to some requests to do an updated edition, we came to the conclusion that the book was actually quite out of date because it was full of fear and, oh my goodness, what do we do next kind of thinking, whereas really we need to be thinking like you do about self-empowerment and taking care of ourselves and taking steps to protect ourselves and our loved ones in a common sense way so that whatever happens, at least we have done something and we're feeling good about where we are, even though we can't always prevent everything that happens to us. We can make a good start at that and do a few things and maybe help others and help our loved ones.
Well, I think that that is very significant. One of the powerful paragraphs that you have in your book, and I'm going to quote directly from it, "Life on Earth is a complex web of interconnections. Every species interacts immediately or intimately with others that feed upon it or provide its sustenance. When we cut out one small strand, our whole web of connection shudders, and that web is our home. Consider an example. In the search for gas, every day we drill 50 new fracking wells that contaminate 60% of the nearby water sources and use loud compressors that scare off jays, that disperse pinion seeds," and you go on with this. I think that what has evolved, and it has been very, very slow, because it's very difficult many times for people to wrap their minds around an innovative way of thinking to take what is being done and working with it in a better way. It's not easy to make that shift. Typically, we all get into our little modalities of habit.
Mm-hmm.
But you use three words in your book: listen, observe, learn. LOL. Now, in tweeting and texting, that usually means lots of love. Well, this is different. Listen, observe, learn.
Right.
Or listening out loud. I mean, there's all kinds that go with that. But this is something that I think is extremely important, and especially if we can teach it to the children. And one of the biggest things, not the only thing, but one of the biggest things I know that's hit the United States and other parts of the world really hard, my heart went out to the people in India that just recently were suffering from the monsoons, these massive, massive floods. It was at record levels, the water that came into their space. And as we know, water can be so destructive when it's moving at such a pace. We need it to live, but at the same time, it can be so destructive. We have severe weather events.
Right.
And this is all over the world.
Right. That's right.
This is something that happens. This is nature. This is many times something we cannot even, there's no way we can control it. We've just gotten hit with weather fronts here in the Pacific Northwest. We've got thunder and lightning storms. Now, I'm grateful that we've got a weather service that can give us a little bit of warning. I mean, you think of our ancestors, they didn't even have that unless they could really read the weather factors. But we have that today, and so we can be prepared. But it is, you know, it's really, we have to realize that we are vulnerable. We really are. We need to not come from a positioning of fear, but being prepared. It's the Girl Scout, Boy Scout model. Hey, there's a reason for it.
That's right.
Right, and that's why, that was our focus in the second edition. We realized that, you know, we're not going to dwell on terror. I mean, that can happen, yes, and we should be prepared. But really, what we have to deal with now, worldwide, is exactly what you said, weather. We cannot control it, and she's not going to stop throwing it at us. So there's no point in fretting about it. We just gave these simple ideas to get prepared and be ready when she does throw something at you.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said in 2012, 32 million people were forced to leave their homes due to weather-related reasons.
Right.
Wow. 32 million displaced people. We know what happened with Hurricane Katrina. We have known what's happened in New Jersey and New York with Hurricane Sandy. I mean, this is a big deal. So let's look at what the average person, the average family can do. What do we need to pay attention to? Well, if you were here in the Pacific Northwest, for example, let me just tell you what happened here recently. It was about 2 weeks ago. We came very close to having a tornado warning. I've lived in this area for years. We've never had a tornado in Western Washington that I'm aware of. However, I have known of it happening in Eastern Washington. They're very, very rare. But when I started reading information about tornadoes and what you need to pay attention to, well, that's happens in Oklahoma, right? Texas. Why should we be concerned about it anywhere? Well, they can happen anywhere.
Right.
What would you recommend?
Well, be aware, be alert, be on your toes. And in the case of tornadoes, it's probably still a low probability, but weather is changing and the climate is destabilizing and the jet stream is not following its ancient habits. It's going places where it hasn't gone before, getting stuck, all kinds of things are happening. So tornadoes are possible. You can basically expect almost anything anywhere in the coming time. So rather than say, well, what you really need to do is to build a basement tornado shelter because we had that almost warning, that's probably a little extreme. But what we would suggest is that families look at our recommendations, which are to put together some collections of materials that would be advantageous to have on hand regardless what the emergency is, whether it's a terroristic or an earthquake or a flood or whatever. You really have to look at how these things affect you and your family, not necessarily the type of source of the emergency, but rather what to do in any emergency. And what we do is we suggest that you might think about four situations that you could find you and your loved ones in. And the first dichotomy would be whether you are at home or not when this thing happens, because the way you deal with it is quite different. And in the case where you're away from home, either you're in a vehicle or you're not, and those are two different situations. So if you're away from home and you're not in a vehicle, well, you don't have a lot. You can't go into the attic or into your stored food stash or, you know, it's just you. So in that case, we recommend that people always carry with them a pocket set, which we define in the book as a small collection of things that would be very useful to have. Everybody remembers the movie Castaway. You know, if he had just had a knife, you know, the movie would have been totally different. What would you like to have if it was just you alone and you need to survive? Well, we suggest probably it would be a good idea to have people carry maybe a small multi-purpose tool set on their key ring, for example. Maybe a whistle to help draw attention to yourself, a bandana or a big handkerchief that you can use to protect yourself against smoke or poison gas or whatever might be out there. Just a few things that you just generally take with you, like your cell phone, to the extent that the cell phone tower has not been knocked down by the disaster or whatever it is. Think about the things that you might want to have, and we recommend some of those in the book. The other situation, if you're away from home, is if you're in your vehicle. And in your vehicle, you have a couple of things if you follow our recommendations. And one is to put together a couple of things. One is a vehicle, what we call a vehicle box. And you can get some of these commercially, and a lot of times you have a good start in your vehicle, in addition to the tools you need to change tires and things like that. That's a good place to put together some things that you might want to have if you are stuck in your vehicle away from home. And also in the usually in the trunk of the car, we suggest that you keep what we call a go pack. Some people call it a bug out bag. It's typically a backpack, like a school backpack, a used one. Doesn't have to be pretty or stylish or expensive or anything, just something to carry some things with it. And in that, we recommend in the book a number of things you might want to have in there. But just think about what if it's you in the vehicle and you're stuck wherever, you know, on the side of the road in a snowstorm or, you know, in a flooded area or whatever it is, you might have to leave that vehicle, in which case you, if you can, grab the go-pack and go, and it's you in the go-pack. And what would you like to have?
Now, Pam, when you were in Cyprus, and this was one of the situations that really prompted you to become more aware of your needs. Now, here you are. You're in another country, and you had your previous husband, and you had a very young son. Mm-hmm. And one night, all of a sudden, you had to leave in 30 minutes. Now, this is you're in another country.
Right.
And you are not going to be going back.
Right.
There is a war situation that's happening here. You got to be out of here in 30 minutes.
Right.
Now, just hearing those words would paralyze anyone.
Right.
When you have something like that happen, I mean, that happened with Katrina. Sometimes people didn't even have that amount
right.
of time.
Exactly.
I mean, you can have these disasters hit, but what would you say? Because mostly in households, it's typically the women that are going to be making these preparations. The men sometimes get involved, but usually it's the gals.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but
no,
that
you're
has
right.
been my experience and observation. Give us some tips on what we can do, what we need to look at, because sometimes when this stuff hits, you may not have, if you've had an emergency stash, it may be totally gone, just like it happened with so many people in Katrina. Even if they had been prepared, their houses were gone. Or
exactly.
they was up to the rafters in water, or maybe they had to jump in a rowboat. What do you do?
Right. That's why we talk about having the go-pack and a portable stash. And in that, you put the cherished things that I wanted to take was a photo album, a few changes of clothes. It puts your life in perspective. What is the most important thing I would take? And to think about that ahead of time, because you're right, with these fires, sometimes you have 10, 15 minutes to get out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a stash that's portable and you have some cherished pictures in there, you have some copies of some very important papers in there, you have some spare clothes, some spare food, you grab that and go, and the rest of it's just going to it's going to be there or not. But you do have to look at your life and say, if I had to leave, and we have that question in the book, if I had to leave in 15 minutes or half hour, what would I take? That's
this,
the question you ask yourself ahead of time.
And this is also a case where, if you can, you pack light. You know, you don't want to have this turn into moving day.
No.
You know,
mm-hmm.
when you've got 15 minutes, get out of the way of the forest fire. Basically, the most you can expect in some of these disasters is grab something on your way out of the house, throw it into the vehicle, and speed away.
Yeah, now your stash can't have everything in it because there will be last-minute items. But as Brian said, you know, think about those, that what you're going to grab, and if it's a fire, you may not be able to. But keep your stash near the door of important things and go.
There's another part of the stash that's more permanent. That's stored food, dried beans, things like that that don't go with you in an emergency
that's
like that.
That's what you were talking about.
That's when you're stuck in your house. You can't go out because poison gas or something. You're stuck in the house.
Right, and those are the various conditions. Now, I'll share a comment that a friend made to me it's been about 2 or 3 years ago. He and his wife sat down and were talking about things, and he told me that he went and scanned all of the documents that he felt were important into a memory stick.
Right.
Yes.
And he told his wife, he said, if this house catches on fire, anything happens, you take that memory stick and our portable computer and you move.
Right.
You get out of the house. He said, at least we have all of our documents, we have our banking information, we have everything on that stick. And I thought, now that is really something, because you could back up your whole system, and all of us depend on computers today.
Absolutely.
So you could back up your whole system there, all of your documents, and I was just made aware, because I wasn't aware of this, that you can get a little memory stick that's hardly anything that holds a gazillion bits of information on it.
Absolutely.
And I thought, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't this terrific?
I would suggest a couple of things on that. One is that the memory stick be encoded with a password that is commonly shared in the family.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that memory stick to fall into somebody else's hands, and then they've got all your documents and that sort of thing. And it's not the CIA trying to get you, or the NSA, or the Russians, or somebody. This is just common sense. I mean, just do something so it's not an easy giveaway if somebody finds it.
Right, and that is very
important. The other thing I would suggest, since those memory sticks are cheap, is make more than one of them. Put one in each of the vehicles. You don't know which vehicle you're going to be in, but put it in the glove compartment. Off you go. Then you don't have to remember, oh, dear, did you grab the memory stick? You know, did you see it in the smoke? I mean, you know, you don't want to put that additional requirement on anybody. The other thing that has happened in recent years, which anybody can find out fairly quickly, is that there are places out in what they call the cloud where you can store documents, images, things like that. It's your own account, and it's out there. It's in a computer somewhere, but it looks like it's out in some nebulous place. At least it's not going to go away if your house burns down.
Mm-hmm.
If you set up an account out in the cloud and put your important things out there, again with a password or something, a general kind of common sense thing to do, then in the aftermath of the emergency, typically things will come back online and you'll get back into what you need there. But you will need to be able to recover your accounts and that sort of thing. So if you have important things in there and passwords protecting it, again, in this case, I think you just want to make it easy enough for someone in the family to get into it, and not so difficult that when you finally get there, the thing that prevented you from recovering was you couldn't remember the password.
One of the most significant situations that happens with these disasters is our pets. We love them.
Right.
And in Katrina, oh my goodness, that was just incredibly devastating to so many thousands and thousands of people. They lost their animals, and if they had, they weren't allowed to take them. This is something we need to talk about, because those animals are our family. They are part of our family.
Are.
I know that my little Scottish Terrier, Victor, he'd be right with me. If we were going to go, we would never leave him behind.
But eventually you have to realize that that is a dog. And if your daughter is on one side and the dog's on the other side, you may want to think about what your choice would be if it came to that. I mean, ultimately, I mean, as much as we love pets, they don't live as long as people, and they don't have the other characteristics of people, and you have to really deal with that issue. You know, if it comes down to pets or the family loses its life, what do you do? I mean, it's really harsh, but I mean, these choices have to be made at some point. You have to be ready to make those choices.
We
know of people whose families have died because they went back for the pets and the forest fire took them.
Yeah. It's real personal for everyone, and it's real individualized, and that is also something to think about before a disaster happens. you know, some pets, especially cats, might be able to fend for themselves for a few days. But horses are not easy to take. Often with the hurricane, shelters will be set up, but usually not enough. So, yeah, that's something to think about. What will I do? If you can leave food out for the pet, depending on the situation, they may survive without you. But a small dog like yours is more easy to take.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you a related story. It won't take long here, but my daughter, my two daughters were living in Thailand when the tsunami hit there. And the older daughter was back in West Coast, U.S., for a Christmas visit, and the other one was living back there. And my older daughter and her husband had been renovating a little cottage right there by the ocean. They were 50 feet from the surf. And while they were gone, the tsunami came in, took away everything in the house except for a wall that was perpendicular to the beach. And when the water receded and they came back, there was just a heap of rubble there, and sitting on top of the rubble was their house cat.
Right.
Amazing.
She had climbed up the tree.
Amazing.
Because animals are smart, you know.
Yes, they are.
They're smarter than we are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's when they are contained, when they don't have any options. Again, we use Katrina as a situation.
You have to give them options.
Let them go. Let them out.
Mm-hmm. And you also talk about areas of concern like volcanoes and Winnepoome. Mm-hmm. And historically, what kills and destroys everything with a volcano, it's not just the molten lava that comes out, but it is that gas, tremendous gas. Of course, whenever anything like that blows, it affects the globe because it goes around in the airstreams, and it can change weather dramatically in different parts of the world. But you talk about making sure you have dust masks and respirators, and that should be in your go pack. Now, in your book, and of course, we're just barely touching on so much of the information you have here, but you talk about how you can use a virtual community, how important barter and money is, just going through all kinds of things. And in the back of your book, Common Sense in Uncommon Times, you also have a checklist for people to be able to copy, and you have a reference list that people, if they want to expand their knowledge in other areas. But in presenting this information to those of you who are listening to the show, we're not presenting this to make you paranoid. What we're doing is trying to make you aware that you as an individual have some options here. Life happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's not always predictable. And if you have an emergency kit, this is great. And I think that this is something, having it in your car, having something in the house, being aware, and especially with computer technology, and as Brian suggested, having multiple memory sticks, maybe putting it on your calendar to upgrade whatever memory stick you have, maybe 3 times a year, 4 times a year, using the cloud, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Now, Brian and Pamela, what's the website people can go to find out more about this great publication?
Best place to go is commonsenseuncommontimes.com.
CommonSenseUncommonTimes.com.
Yeah,
well, Brian and Pamela, it's been a delight having you as a guest. This book is really an eye-opener. And I think that no matter where a person is in the world, when they can look around, just as I said to someone yesterday, no matter where you live, you're always going to have something that's not going to be particularly positive about the weather. So how do we work with the environment that we're in and work from a positioning of being alert and aware and not one of fear?
Mm-hmm.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Brian and Paula, thank you so much
for being my guest.
Thank you for having us on.
It's just absolutely a delight. I wish you nothing but the best in all
thank
of your
you.
Endeavors. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a minute. Common Sense, uncommontimes.com. Check it out. You may be able to help someone. Maybe a stranger, but most importantly, yourself. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number for you to call in to the show if you would like to let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Mark Nepo, Return to Joy. Now, this is something that I think is so important for all of us because, well, life does smack us upside the head every once in a while. Ever had that feeling? Well, I'll tell you what. Mark's going to give us some wonderful, wonderful information that we are going to be able to share. So I wanted to do that with you, give you that information, and we are just going to have a real good time chatting with him. And in the following week, we're going to be talking about the DNA of sales. We're going to be talking about TELSA, the healing dog, intuition, Cancer and Miracles, Sarah Wiseman, The Secret of Life Wellness by Ina Siegel, and, oh my goodness, so much more. So we just have a lot of very good people on this planet, and I just feel so fortunate that we're able to bring them to you via the wonders of technology, because without it, we wouldn't have this opportunity to communicate with you all over the globe. I wanted to chat about a frog. Mm-hmm. Now, frogs and toads have been around forever, but sometimes, and oh, we all know the story about the princess and the frog. Disney even made a movie about that. Poor little guy, he had to be able to have a princess kiss him before he turned back into a real human being. Well, there are some fascinating stories about toads. Now, they're not the most likable, adorable things that you could ever look at, unless you're one of those scientists that just think they are the most wonderful things since sliced bread. But in 1900, on July 20th, there was a very unusual occurrence, and this happened in Oxfordshire, North Morton, and there was a vicar of that community that recorded in the Selborne Society Journal the following information. On July 20th, while some repairs were being carried on in our church, a skeleton was discovered at a depth of about 6 feet under the pavement, and in the skull, a large yellow toad. The theory of the man who found it is that the creature was there in the man's lifetime and grew after his death. A little gruesome. Right? Well, those are the facts. Question would be, in our world today, is how did it manage to survive? How did it stay there? How long had the guy been dead? We'd want to do an autopsy, right? Just like Bones on television. That's one of my favorite television shows, by the way. Now, in 1198, there was a quarryman who found a natural, beautifully jointed stone that they took to their local bishop. And this bishop and this was in 1198, he proceeded to have it opened, wondering if something mysterious lay hidden inside. Now, this is what he found. He found a toad with a gold chain around its neck. The stone was engraved for identification, then reburied for all eternity in the place where it had been found. Poor toad. They don't say whether it was alive or dead, but that's one of the aspects that's most curious to the investigative scientist. How is it that toads and frogs go into an altered state that could last for up to 100 years? And then when they're brought out of their encased environment, they're alive. How do they do it? What do they do? Scientists have been interested in that aspect, especially for space travel. Well, we're going to move forward to a different time. It's 1818. Geologist Edie Clark was in a chalk pit working where quarrymen unearthed a layer of newts 275 feet below the surface. Now, he thought they were fossils. He thought they were fossils belonging to an extinct species. He removed them from the lump of chalk that had been brought up and put them in a nice little arrangement out in the bright sun. Guess what? They started to move. Two of the three that were there died, and the last one ran away, moving as if it had not been immobilized for who knows how long. And in 1863, a stone ball fell from a gatepost that was hundreds of years old. A stone ball. When it fell, it split open, and a live toad came out from the center of the stone ball. Fascinating stuff, don't you think? Scientists still can't figure it out. This is Donna Sebo. We've got a caller on the line. Let's take the caller, and hey, you can give me a buzz, too, at 888-627-6008. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Hi, dear. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
S from Seattle.
Well, welcome to the show. Are you enjoying the rain as much as I am right now at this moment?
I am.
It's really great. Don't worry. The sun's going to be coming out this weekend. This is just Seattle weather, as we all know, that live in the Pacific Northwest. Okay, S, let's take a real good look at what's going on with you. First of all, you're in a hurry. You really like to get things done efficiently, quickly, and then move on. However, there is a lot of patience that's going to have to be employed at this time. You're also going to find yourself feeling like you are behind the eight ball in a relationship with an individual. And I'm looking at this and I'm somewhat surprised that you have this feeling because you're not behind the eight ball. What you really are having to look at is how you're going to communicate with this individual, what it is that you want them to understand. And you keep compromising yourself. You keep saying, well, maybe they're having a bad hair day. Well, gee whiz, their life is tough for them or something. You come up with all of these compromises when you need to set your boundaries. You need to really say, this is not acceptable to me. And this person may get a little blustery with you, and you need to not take it personally. You need to look at them and say, hey, this is just the way it is. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to do X, Y, Z, and this kind of behavior is not acceptable, whatever is appropriate. You need to know that you can set your boundaries. If you don't set your boundaries, then for all intents and purposes, they will just use you to the greatest extent they possibly can. And this isn't a bad person. This is just a very thoughtless person. This is the kind of individual that if you don't tell them what the boundaries are, they're just going to totally ignore it. But you have to reinforce it. You don't say it and then go and just let them get away with everything. You just don't do it. So just be aware. You've got a lot on your plate right now. Boy, this fall and winter are going to be action-packed. So pay attention to your priorities so that you don't get overwhelmed. And keep a tight lock on the money box. Make sure you are conservative and frugal, because you are really going to have a lot of financial things to take care of in the next 2.5 years. So you want to be very alert and aware. This isn't poverty thinking. It is paying attention to what you need to pay attention to. Do you have a question for me today, Es?
Yes, I am just wondering if I'm on the right career path right now.
Okay, what are you doing and what is it you'd like to do?
Well, I don't really know what I want to be. I'm in the process of looking. I haven't worked for a long time, and my daughter just started high school, so I'm just trying to figure that out.
Well, let's go back a little bit. What is it? Let me rephrase my question. When you do anything, what is it that really brings you joy? Does housekeeping make you feel happy and satisfied? Do you just absolutely adore being on Facebook or on a computer? Do you love to design things? What do you like to do?
I do love decorating. I love animals, photography. I have lots of hobbies.
All right, then let's stop with that. Because what I was getting when you were talking in mind, I was getting that you could design, this is going to sound a little wacky, design clothing and items for animals. Now, this may sound really, really wacky and weird, but costumes, designer costumes for pets. And I would say that you need to be attentive to that which really gives you a lot of inspiration. And I'm going to give you a very practical tip. I've said this to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Go to your local community college. You also can do this online. But go take a vocational aptitude test. Now, the reason that I recommend that is because it deals with interests. It has nothing to do with your IQ. It has to do with your interest areas. And you can creatively be involved in an environment that you really enjoy. And I know that I've got a guest upcoming on my show this month who has, for example, a university program, and it's out of San Francisco, that accredits people for working with animals, especially dogs. And it's just an incredible, this is an incredible woman. So she's going to be on my show. But I encourage you to do the aptitude test. Because what this does, it points out your strengths. You don't want to focus on your weaknesses, and you want to be able to get some working experience under your belt that is going to enable you to get more of an awareness of what you like and what you don't like. At this point, I would encourage you to try to get a job in a pet store because you like animals, you like designing things, and because of the concept that I got in my head, I think that you might find it absolutely amazing to become acquainted with the various products and or services that can be provided.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
And I would explore. The fact that you are willing at this time with your daughter going into high school, your life is shifting. If she wants to go on to college, there's going to be a whole different shift in her life, and very soon she's not going to need you as you've been needed in the past. So this is wonderful on your part to take that positioning of preparation. And if you take the aptitude test, then go ahead and check it out online. One of the companies is the Strong Campbell Company. And you're going to find it's very inexpensive to do. And when you look at your strengths, and this is something I frequently help people with, when you look at your strengths and you see those, you may say, gee, that doesn't make sense to me. However, when you look at those details, remember that if perhaps you'd become, maybe would be classified as someone that would make a good Army officer. Well, you might sit there and just laugh your head off when you look at that, and you say, oh, my goodness, I'd never do that. But you have to understand, what is it that makes someone qualify for that positioning? What it is, it's organization, problem-solving, imagination, being able to deal with rules, regulations, knowing how to deal with people, leadership talents. Do you see what I'm getting to?
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to pay attention Don't put yourself down, because what's happening here is that you're beginning to blossom. You're beginning to blossom. So again, keep your priorities straight, and you are going to do well. But I want you to be frugal with the money.
Okay.
And thank you for your call,
well,
my dear.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. And by the way, I've got an appearance at the Emerald Spiral Expo at the Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. And that's going to be on the 28th of September. And I'll be there, and I'm going to have lots of books. And I'm going to be also doing a little mini session. So if you and friends want to come out and say hello, hey, do it. Check out the EmeraldSpiralExpo.com on the web, and you'll get all the details.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, dear. Thanks for calling in. This is Donna Siebel. We're taking a break. When we come back, I'm going to share a story with you about Girl Scouts. But if you'd like to call in and chat with me, too, hey, 888-627-6008. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top-of-the-line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hello, this is Donna Siebel. I'm back. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Because of the subject matter that we've had on the show today, I thought that this story was extremely significant. It's about the Girl Scouts. And during the interview, I mentioned, be prepared. Be prepared. With the Scouts, boy or Girl Scouts, didn't make any difference. That was something you memorized immediately. Be prepared. And having been in the Scouts, which was a significant part of my young life, I think that that is a very important attitude to have. Now, there is a woman, Connie Bell. She works with Troop 239. And she was so much aware, as were all the members of her troop, the young girls, the Girl Scouts, of Hurricane Sandy and New Jersey, New York, all of the devastation that hit. And her daughter, whose name is Morgan, said, oh, my goodness, Mom, hey, I've saved up $10. Let me send it to them. It really helped. However, Connie, who is in Indiana, that's where she and her family live, she said, let's see what we can really do. That's wonderful. I'm so glad that you're willing to take that money that you've saved. We live quite a distance away, and there's a lot of Girl Scouts that are there and their families. So let's think about this in another fashion. Now, one of the reasons that Connie was able to do this kind of, innovative thinking patterning is because her sister's home had been totally destroyed by a fire a few years earlier. And she just knew what her sister went through. It's just horrific when you have that happen. Well, her, Morgan said to her mom, you know, none of the girls are going to be able, with all of this that's hit, Mom, none of the girls are going to be able to afford uniforms. They're just not going to be able to do anything as a troop. What can we do? In Girl Scouts and in Boy Scouts, you always have to earn your badges. You have a sash, and those badges go on there. Well, this is what they came up with. Connie and her daughter Morgan got together with all of the other girls in Troop 239, and they did a launch. Their launch was called Operation Be a Sister. They set up a Facebook page, and within a very short period of time, they had more than 2,000 followers. They also reached out to scout leaders they had met at a national gathering in Washington, D.C. a short time before. The response was phenomenal. People from all over the country were saying, let us know what we can do. They were requesting Girl Scout vests, sashes, patches, hats, scarves, books, pins, and more than 3,000 scouts from 49 states and even those that were overseas sent everything they could think of. Connie managed to get in touch with scout leaders in the storm-damaged areas after the hurricane finished its devastating action. And she said to them, you let us know what you need, and we're going to get it to you. Now, Connie is one of these women that is a very fine seamstress, and she was putting on patches that had been donated and the sashes, everything. She had 150 uniform vests that she was working on. The entire troop helped her with the sewing and packing all of these uniforms that were sent to the areas that were so devastated. And inside of each package they sent was a card that was signed by all of them, encouraging them to move forward, and if they needed help, to ask for it. Their kindness, their thoughtfulness, the giving spirit of all the people that contributed really meant a lot to those that received what they got. One scout leader said, it means so much to the girls to have their uniforms replaced. It reminds them that they haven't lost everything and that people care. But they went another step further. They set up an online gift registry so that the Girl Scouts and their families could request bedding, towels, curtains, and even furniture. Thank yous for coming in from all over. Now, when tornadoes hit Moore, Oklahoma, they did the same thing. They reached out to help their sisters, as they call them, right there. The Girl Scouts of Troop Number 239, they're heroes. They are heroes because they took action. They said, we can do something. We can make a difference. And one of the scout leaders from Long Island, her name is Joy, she said, it's an amazing thing. Even if you're total strangers when you're a part of the Girl Scouts, they're an extended family. It's an awesome thing. And Connie Bell, a scout leader, she said, I'm very proud of how the Girl Scouts from all over have come together. They've learned they can really make a difference. One person plus one person plus one person plus one person. It's amazing, isn't it? We make such a difference in little things. And we don't think it's very much. A thoughtful smile, a kindness, contributing, maybe helping an elderly person with washing dishes or keeping their environment a little tidy for them. You never know what you're going to be able to do. You make a difference. Who you are makes a difference, and that's so important for you to remember. Remember always, too, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. Invest in yourself, because when you invest in yourself, when the time comes, you, along with others that maybe want to be supportive of you, are going to say, I can help make something happen, just like this Girl Scout Troop 239 did. It makes a difference. And oh, the sense of satisfaction and fulfillment is phenomenal. You're very important, and I'm so delighted you joined me today. This is Donna Sebo. Remember that again, always. You're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a magnificent day. We'll talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.